I invite you this morning to turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, the Gospel of Mark chapter 8. We'll be taking a look at verses here, verses 34 through 38. And to start with, and then from there going on to another passage. Here the Scripture says in verse number 34 of Mark 8, "And when he had called the people unto him, and with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Denial of self is all that the Lord requires. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I've been thinking about this phrase here, gain the whole world. The Lord's asking, he's telling about service of him and following him, that it takes total and complete denial of self. And that if we take our lives and we lose it for his sakes, and the gospels will find it. But if we take our lives and we save it for ourselves, we will indeed lose it. And the Lord said, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" I have always thought about this, of gaining the whole world, as that of wealth and riches, and indeed that is the direct indication in context. But you know, there's more to the world than just stuff. There's other things, things of character or lack of character. There's thinking and doctrine and philosophy of the world. And so in light of that, I want us to think and let us find a principle here of gaining the whole world. Maybe it wouldn't be the gaining of the whole world would be that of stuff and of riches, of lands and that. But maybe, or let us consider not that, but let us consider other things that certainly could be. In Mark chapter 10, I want us to take a look here now in Mark chapter 10, a familiar passage, I trust, to each and every one of us. We'll start at verse number 17. Gain the whole world. Well, let's take away about the stuff, and let's think about other things. Let's think about the subject. What has got you? What has got you? In Mark chapter 10, verse number 17, it says, speaking here of our Lord, of course, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" This passage, and this account, rather, is found in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke. There are gospels that parallel one another in the time of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, the time of his life. And I've got these before me, and if you wish, you're either taking notes, if you want to refer or write down, the account in Matthew is found in Matthew 19, verses 16 through 26, and the account in Luke is found in chapter 18 of Luke, verses 18 through 27. And so we have the rich young ruler. That's how we refer to him. Here in Mark, Mark writes that it was one. One came. And so it is in Matthew. But in Luke, Brother Luke, as he writes, he declares a certain ruler. And Mark said he came running and kneeling down to the Lord Jesus, and he asked him, "Good master, what shall I do?" In Matthew, he said, "What good thing shall I do?" What good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? In Matthew, in the book of Matthew, he says, have eternal life. And so he's very interested in knowing how he may live forever. And what can I do? What can I accomplish to be able to do that? To gain, to have, to inherit eternal life. Jesus says something that makes us kind of scratch our heads here. And Jesus said unto him in verse number 18, why callest thou me good? Well, indeed, he is good. I think maybe that the Lord Jesus is making an indication here about how it is with the people and those religious in Judaism, how they have and hold the rabbis and such reverence. They are to be honored. They sit in Moses' seat, as the Lord said, but in some respects there's maybe even a worship of them to some extent. And the Lord directs him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Well, we know the Lord Jesus is God, don't we? And indeed he is good. But that's interesting what the Lord says there to him. The Lord directs him there in verse number 19, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother and mother. Over in Matthew, the Lord said unto him, keep the commandments. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Isn't that interesting that Jesus would say that? We are very dogmatic about saying that you can't be saved by keeping the commandments. But the Lord says, keep the commandments. And indeed, what the commandments, the keeping, or the desiring, or the pursuit of keeping the commandments with an honest heart will show that we cannot save ourselves, because this man, nor any man, has ever kept the commandments. Because if we started today to keep the commandments, what about all the past? And so the Lord is not indicating here another way of salvation. In the summary of this passage, how the ending of this passage, we understand fully and completely about that. But he says to him in Matthew, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And so he lists some of them here, and they're part of the listing that have to do with the treatment of one another. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't lie. Don't cheat. And honor your parents. The man had asked him in Matthew, after the Lord had said, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments, the man says, which? It's the only place that that's indicated there. He says over in Matthew and Luke, he said, I've done this, and in Mark also, I've kept all these from my youth up. In Matthew, he's saying, he's wanting to parse it down. Which ones? I don't want to get overboard. I don't want to go too far. The Lord makes the list as he does in Mark and in Matthew and in Luke. He says, I've done all these things from my youth up. He says, in Matthew, he says, what do I lack yet? So he knows that something is missing. And that's interesting how it is. You know, I think that there have been and are and will be a cut of people that know that something is missing. They have sat under the preaching of the gospel and maybe even sound Baptist preaching and teaching, and they hear with their ear and with their sense and their brain, their conscience about what is declared, but they hear it and they know they need it. They see it to be real in other people's lives. But they're hung up with one thing or another. He says, which? He claims that he's kept all the commandments. We know that he is not. Certainly in his heart he is not. No man has. He declares, I've kept all these things from my youth up, but what do I'm still lacking. I want to know that I have eternal life. In Mark chapter 10, verse 21, it says here, and this is the only gospel that it declares this, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And understand that word love is of the three words that have to do with agape love. He loved him. He loved him, we know, from the standpoint of being one of the nation. He loved him, I believe, from the standpoint of compassion. The man has a true need. He's been trying to save himself all his life. And he has come to the Lord and saying, what do I lack yet? Tell me. How can I know? How can I have it? We pray that it is so, that the Lord loved him from the standpoint of the rescue of his soul. We don't know who he is, but we pray that indeed the Lord did save him. We just don't know, but we desire that. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He had compassion on him. I would present this. I've wondered about this myself. The scripture, Brother Mark, declaring that the Lord loved him, indeed, in time, would he not bring him to salvation? We just don't know. I would want to think so, wouldn't you? But here in verse 21, he says, and Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. You lack one thing. So he's told him to keep the commandments. It says over in Matthew, Brother Matthew declares in his account, if thou will be perfect, if thou will be perfect. And typically in the scriptures, that word perfect in our King James translation speaks about moving on to maturity, moving on to knowledge. In Luke, Brother Luke declares also, yet lackest thou one thing. So there's one thing that the Lord indicates to him, and the Lord is telling this out of his love, and he tells him, sell and give. Go sell all that you've got. Whatsoever thou hast, go sell it. And give what you sell to the poor. And so the Lord tells him and gives him something to do. Remember in Matthew, I mentioned to you, he said, what good thing shall I do? And providing for the poor is a very good thing. It is a good thing. They have a great need. The Lord tells him, you go sell and you go give and you'll have treasure in heaven. Is that the one thing? No, we've not got there yet. But what the Lord has dealt with is he's dealt and gone right to the thing that has got this man. Again, the title of the message is What's Got You? What's Got You? Go sell what you've got, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. But then I think we come to what the Lord is indicating about the one thing that he lacks. He says, and come. So that means get on closer to. Take up thy cross, and we see the picture of that, don't we? Like the Lord carrying his cross into Golgotha. But that's not what it's speaking about. It's not talking about two beams put together in an X or a T or that. But he's talking about the burden and the way and the work and the calling of the Lord. Take up what is there for you, and follow me. So he deals with his hang-up, the one thing, the one good thing he needs to do, and then he tells him the one thing that he needs. And he needs Jesus, doesn't he? He needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me. And Matthew, it says there, if thou will be perfect, if you want to go on to the thing that you need, go sell what thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven in regards to that, and come and follow me. He puts him to the test on obedience, doesn't he? Obey me and follow me. And Luke, now when Jesus had heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And there it's colon, is the punctuation, and come follow me. We see in verse 22 a very sad thing, don't we? And he was sad at that saying. He came to the Lord with expectation of securing eternal life, to inherit it, and to know that it's solid and sure. He was willing to do a good thing that he might secure it. He was willing to do whatever. Whatever would be is what he had indicated. But he was sad at what the Lord told him and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. See, it's almost like he didn't get to the part of following the Lord, coming to the Lord and following the Lord, because he got hung up on the first thing that the Lord told him. Sell all that you've got. Right then, his hearing and his mind just went blank. He didn't hear anything else, did he? He didn't hear distribute to the poor. He didn't hear come and follow me. He got hung up right there, didn't he? He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. It says in Luke, for he was very rich. And when he had heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. He had a lot. He had a whole lot of stuff. It goes on to say in verse 23, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God! Exclamation point. He said it's hard for them. It's rare, I think, is the indication. And this has always been something about this that has caused me to pause and scratch my head, because I believe, I think there's an indication here of the hard work and the past of the apostles. Yes, they were from Galilee, but I think they were working men and had done well for themselves. And some of them indicated in their family businesses, others of them in other pursuits and such, because the disciples were astonished at his words. They may have considered about themselves. They may have not been the wealthiest in Galilee, but they may have been well off. I find it interesting how many depictions of the apostles, especially Peter and Andrew and James and John being fishermen, they're there at the supply chain. They're at the beginning of the supply chain, and it seemingly they had done well at such. And how would it be otherwise for them to be astonished if they were very, very poor men? But the disciples were astonished at his words, But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Trust in riches. That's an indication of what the man suffered from. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And I believe that's a literal thing, for a camel to go through the eye of a sewing needle. There are those that make reference to other things. Than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And listen to what it says there. And they were astonished out of measure. So they were astonished at what he said. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And then he mentions how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. He says it's easier for the camel to do this than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Peter to Andrew, who can be saved? John to James, who then can be saved? Levi to another, who then can be saved? And then we have the blessed statement of the Lord. He tells us the truth. He tells us the answer. He tells us indeed what the one thing was that the man lacked, that all of us in and of ourselves lack, what every natural man, woman, boy, and girl lacks. And Jesus looking upon them, so he states what he states. They're astonished out of measure. They're staying among themselves. And Jesus raises his head and looking upon them saith, he's looking at them eye to eye, with men it is impossible. There's not a good thing that a man can do, a woman can do, a boy, a girl can do to inherit eternal life. There's not a thing. With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. The one thing, the one person that he lacked was the Lord. He lacked the Lord. So we have this account here about the rich young ruler, as we refer to him. And as we consider this account, and we ask the question, what had him? What had him? His wealth, the giving up of his wealth is what had him. He was in the clutches of it. And indeed, he didn't even realize that he was in the clutches of it. He came to the Lord with expectation to have eternal life, the question of eternal life, inheriting eternal life, to get that question, to get that issue resolved. Remember, he said of his own mouth, what good thing can I do? And then the Lord told him. And the Lord told him a thing that would take and put away the distraction of his wealth. And then the directive of opening up his true need was the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him, to come and follow him. But what was it? The man went away sad at the very first thing that the Lord said and didn't even get to the other. What had him? What has got you? Here we see this man, his wealth had him. So then when we go back in that passage in Mark chapter 8, where the Lord said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? So it's a direct correlation, isn't it? It's a direct connect. And when we say gaining the whole world, we think of the wealth of the world, and that's a very direct thing from this account here, is that this man was hung up on property. He was hung up on houses. He was hung up on his accounts. He was hung up on everything. But you know what? I think there's a principle here that we can take and we can apply and maybe even understand about ourselves before the Lord saved us and how the Lord worked on us and drew us. What's got you? Well, wealth and riches had him. That was his part of the whole world that had him. But we asked the question this morning, what's got you? You know, we may have said it ourselves, or we hear people say it when we talk to them about the Lord and their need, and they'll say, I just can't go that because I'll have to give up blank. I'll have to give up blank. And what they put in the blank is what's got them. It's what had me. It's what had you. You know, what has got you? With many, it's fear. Fear's got them. Fear has got them. Fear to believe that the Lord can truly save. You know, with others, you know what has them? Apathy. Apathy's got them. They just don't care. Just don't care. And it's got them. They are in the clutches of fear. They're in the clutches of apathy, despair. And it's got them. Others are caught in the and held in the clutches of doubt. Are these things not all part of the whole world and the way the world works and the way the world thinks? Yeah. Even beyond that of stuff, which is a very real thing, it was for this man, but there are other things. You know, there's other things. There's that of embarrassment. If I go and I follow after this one Jesus that you do, what will my friends think of me? What will my coworkers think of me? And they're caught up in that of embarrassment. Maybe there are those, indeed there are, those that are caught up in a heart of rebellion. No, it's my life. I'm going to do my own thing. That's it. Leave me alone. I don't need your Jesus. I don't need God. I don't need anybody. And see, you understand what I'm getting at. They're so caught up and wrapped up in it, they don't even realize it. They don't even know it. Or Jesus is there, and the invitation that the Lord Jesus gives to come unto Him and to be healed and to be helped, to be saved. In our summer Bible school, as we wrapped it up in that verse in Matthew that I brought forth, you know, and you that were in the classes and taught the classes, you saw that verse and you taught it and referred to it. You know, we've got to become as little children. Brother Doug brought it up this morning. Little children just believe. They believe. Why would they doubt that anybody's not telling them the truth? Others, because of their friends and that of embarrassment, they're held captive by that. Or desires. Forbidden desires. We see it when we go into the jail and others that we've dealt with. There are those that are bound up by drugs and alcohol. I mean, there's just, you know, you and I will never break through anything, but we certainly can't break through that. It'll be the Lord that'll break through that. When somebody is so caught up in drugs and dope, that's that they're part of the whole world that they're bound up by. They go away sorrowful with the very thing that they're bound up with and that they love is killing them, and the Lord offers life and rescue. Illicitness. I heard a man give some statistics, some terrible statistics about the flow of pornography over the internet and that communication system of the internet worldwide, and it was just incredible, the billions. It was some figure that every person in the world, there's been enough pornography, they estimate, going across the entire internet of the world, that every person would would, if they took it and they parsed that out across every person that exists and lives on the earth, that every person has watched tens of hours of pornography for the entire population of the world is how much pornography has gone out. Some people are just bound, they're bound up with it. That's their part of the whole world that has got them. And then inappropriate relationships. I was thinking about a couple that I know of from years ago, and that was the thing that they dealt with and wrestled with. If I'm saved, and they are not, according to what the Lord says about unequal yokes. See, they knew what the Bible said about unequal yokes. They'd been raised up in it. And they knew that they'd have to give up one another if the Lord saved them. And the Lord did. He saved them both in time. And praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for His mercies. But that was the strait that they were in. And from this side and from the human side, they were bound up with their care and desire for the other rather than their need of the Lord, which is an eternal situation, has eternal ramifications. You see that? Then there's pride. Pride indeed. That's the part of the whole world that binds many up. Self-sufficiency. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of my sin. I'll take care of dealing with God. I don't even believe God is there. He is there, isn't He? And it is very, very real. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 9, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts." And we've seen that with this man, haven't we? And we know it can be so. And understand that this is not a condemnation of having provision and blessing from the Lord, from working hard and using the talents that the Lord gives and the opportunity and the blessings. It's not a condemnation on wealth by any means, because the Lord blesses. He blesses greatly. And that in and of itself is not where the condemnation lies, but how the Lord said, those that trust in that, like this man did, that was his life. And when the Lord told him to go and sell it all, he just didn't hear anything else. That was part of the whole world that had him. It goes on to say in 1 Timothy 6, 9, "They that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lust desires which drown men in destruction and perdition." And in this man, as he left, that's what he was doing, wasn't he? He was drowning in self-destruction and in perdition, being separated from the Lord when the Lord said, "You've got a question. You're looking for an answer. You're looking for what to do. You need me. Come follow me. Come take up my calling of you and come follow me." No, I can't go there. Not that. Not that at all. What has got you? I think that we can take this, and even as the children of God, we're secure in Christ, but we do have this old man, and you know what? We can have some things that will yet get us. No, we're not talking about from the standpoint of salvation. But we can take and we can have idols, can't we? We can take other things or people or circumstances or situations and put them in between us and the Lord. And they've got us. And the Lord says to us, being saved, "Come, follow me. Come, take up your cross and follow me. Come, follow me in the call." And may the Lord help us that we not do that. But the blessing in the entire thing, the disciples evaluating about what the Lord said and what they've seen happen, they said, who can be saved? Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men as it is impossible. You and I, indeed, we know we cannot save ourselves. If you're here and you're not saved, you cannot save yourself. But that's not the case with God. That's not the case with the Lord Jesus Christ. For with God, all things are possible. You know that thing that has, that thing, that part of the whole world that has you in its clutches? Self-will, pride, things of the world, wealth, desires, whatever it is. You know what? God can take that and He can break that down and He can break that off of you and He can save you. And we pray that you will hear, that you will believe, that you will rest and trust in Him and see that's the case. That you'll not be like the rich young ruler at the declaration of the gospel and the command of the Lord for you to repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him, that you wouldn't walk away from that sorrowful because you want to hang on to that thing that's got you. But rather you would see, that is killing me. I need the Lord. I need the Lord Jesus. With God the Son, all things are possible, even to deliver men. Brother Doug read a verse this morning in Romans 8:21, to even take and deliver us from the bondage of corruption. Praise be to His name. What has got you?